Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
There are a few teams that come to mind more often than the Canton Bulldogs when one thinks about the early stages of professional football. Their story is quite a complicated tale, and we think we may have some answer for you in this edition of your daily football history fix, along with the very roots of the NFL and legends of the game, including other teams that wanted to join the early NFL, including the Dayton Triangles, Buffalo All-Americans, Akron Pros, and Rochester Jeffersons. And these stories and more coming up next.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history and to the Sports History Network, your headquarters of sports yesteryear. We have some great action from history of the NFL and the APFA and all of football. August 20th, what a day in football history. This is right up there with September 17th as far as professional football, and we're going to tell you why. And as a matter of fact, we'll go there right now. August 20th, 1920, 101 years ago, the American Professional Football Conference is formed at the Canton Bulldogs owner Ralph Hayes Hupmobile Showroom in Canton. This organization would later change to the APFA, changed conference to association on September 17th, 1920, and then even later than that, 1922, changed its name to the National Football League. For more on Ralph Hay, please check out the podcast from our friend Arnie Chapman, the football history dude, on a Ralph Hay episode. We have a link on Pigskin Dispatch for this August 20th edition. Make sure you check that out. Though more teams would sign on September 17th, 1920, the following franchises started business operations with the APFC on this day. The Pro Football Hall of Fame's website credits the following teams with launching their APFA NFL franchises August 20th, 1920. The Buffalo All-Americans / Bisons, Rangers Bisons franchise forms in 1920 and 1929, but had no documented representation at the organizational meeting. Friend of the site, Bill Schaefer from Gridiron Uniforms, has graciously shared his research and talents to let us see what the Buffalo players were wearing back then. We have some graphics of the All-Americans in 1921 and the Buffalo Bisons 1925 on PigskinDispatch.com for the August 20th episode. Make sure you check those out. Some great work by Bill Schaefer and Tim Bruglia and the staff over there to find out this information. Another team, the Rochester Jeffersons franchise forms, 1920 to 1925, but had no documented representation at the organizational meeting. We had another great podcast with Leo Lyons, the founder of the Rochester Jeffersons, and his great-grandson, John Steffenhagen, was on just a few weeks ago talking about Leo Lyons and those Rochester Jeffersons. Another great podcast for you to check out. We have a link on the website, pigskindispatch.com, August 20th. The Hammond Pros formed that day. They were from 1920 to 1926. Joe Ziemba, the great historian, will be talking about the Hammond Pros in the next couple weeks here on our series on those early professional teams. The Akron Pros, also 1920 to 1926. The Cleveland Tigers / Indians franchise forms in 1920 to 1921. We say a little bit more about them here in a little bit. The Canton Bulldogs franchise forms. We'll talk about them in a bit also. And also the Dayton Triangles. Their manager, Carl Stork, was in attendance at this famous meeting. Now, author Chris Willis, in his great book, The Man Who Built the National Football League, Joe F. Carr, says that only four of the franchises that we just talked about were actually in Hayes' offices in the Hupmobile showroom on August 20th, 1920. Besides Hay and his Bulldogs player, Jim Thorpe, Frank Need and partner Art Ronnie of the Akron Pros, Cleveland Indians manager Jimmy O'Donnell with PR director Stanley Kofall, and Carl Stork, the manager of the Dayton Triangles, were in attendance to form that APFC. Like we said, less than a month later, September 17, 1920, turns into APFA, the association, and the rest of those great early teams show up there, including George Halas and Leo Lyons and some of the other great founders of the league joining these other four teams. So now let's get the scoop on Canton and Cleveland's early teams. The Canton Bulldogs and early Cleveland teams have an extremely interesting history. And our good friend of the site and expert historian, Larry Schmidt of the Gridiron Uniform Database, has shared some great information on the early Canton and Cleveland teams. And since he explained it so eloquently, I'll let his words tell the story to you as well. And the Canton and Cleveland teams were among those whose history get confused. It has to do with some name changes and taking a year off here and there. The Canton Bulldogs were obviously one of the legendary teams that predates the NFL. They were the powerhouse of the 1910s, with Jim Thorpe as their first pro football star. And they were charter members of the APFA in 1920, and Thorpe was the league's first commissioner. And in reality, he was only a title just to get his name out to the public, give the league a little bit of credibility. And there were the Cleveland Tigers. In 1922, the Tigers renamed the Indians, and then they disbanded at the conclusion of the season. Meanwhile, the Canton Bulldogs, led by the great player coach Guy Chamberlain, were the first back-to-back champions in NFL history, dominating competition with an aggregate of 18 wins, one loss, one tie record spanning from 1922 through the 1923 season. And here's where things get a little confusing. And despite their on-the-field success, Canton was struggling financially and had trouble meeting payroll, so they suspended operations in the 1924 season. In 1923, a new Cleveland Indians team was started, and this was not the same franchise from earlier in 1920 and 21. Seeing an opportunity to cash in on some notoriety, the Cleveland team signed several of the Canton players and renamed their team the Bulldogs. Some people confuse this as the Canton team relocating, but it's not the case. The Cleveland Bulldogs, with their bolstered roster, won the NFL title in 1924. But this should not be thought of as a three-peat, although some of the players who were on Canton for those 22 and 23 teams, this was their third title in a row. It was not the same franchise. Cleveland was a unique franchise from Canton of 1922 and 1923. Furthering this point was a well adding to the confusion. The Canton Bulldogs rejoined the NFL in 1925, but the Cleveland team refused to change their name back to the Indians, even though many of the players they had signed in 1924 went back to Canton. So there were two Bulldog teams in the league in 1925, and both finished in the middle of the pack in the standings. Cleveland suspended operations for 1926. While Canton played out the season and then folded for good. The Cleveland Bulldogs came back for one more try in 1927 before they folded as well. All straight now? Let's go to August 20th, 1922. The Toledo Maroons franchise forms, and they play from 1922 to 1923 season. 1991 on August 20th, the Miami Dolphin quarterback Dan Marino becomes the highest paid NFL player when he signed a five-year extension worth a whopping $25 million. He surpassed Joe Montana, who led the NFL record salary prior to that. Now, almost 30 years later, quarterbacks are making more than that in just one season. Wow, that is some great history there for August 20th for one day. It's not even the football season yet. But I told you, it was really rich in history, and a lot of these franchises formed the early APFC, APFA, and NFL were founded as franchises and recognized by the league back on August 20th, and both in 1920 and, you know, also Toledo in 1922. And, you know, Dan Marino signing that big contract, that was a big moment in football history as well. Well, let's take just a moment here to catch our breath and hear a word from our sponsor. At the Sports History Network, we're all about sports yesteryear, and so we're so pleased to introduce you to Row One, an online memorabilia gallery and shop that brings your sports history to life anywhere. The Row One Gallery includes over 5,200 gorgeously reproduced prints of team posters, game program covers, game tickets, advertisements, and more in baseball, pro and college football, pro and college basketball, and more. And any gallery item may be printed in a variety of sizes on wood, metal, canvas, acrylic, or poster paper. And in Row One Shop, check out the thousands more of unique items with a retro and historical designs dating back to 1876, including t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, phone cases, mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com, ROW number one, for access to the full Row One catalog and for gallery prints and gift items. Plus, get a 15% discount off all prints on the Row One Pictorum Gallery with coupon code SHN15. Follow the link on the show notes. Such great products from that sponsor. Make sure you check out their site and that great offer that they had today. Now let's go to our birthdays of Hall of Famers. August 20th, 1909. Beatty Feathers. He was a halfback from the University of Tennessee who entered into the confines of the College Football Hall of Fame in 1955. In an interesting article in the December 2008 edition Sports Illustrated, they went through and named who they think may have won the Heisman Trophy in seasons prior to the word's inception in 1935. Beatty Big Chief Feathers, who Sports Illustrated feels would have been the 1933 winner had the award existed just a few years earlier then. August 20th, 1917. Ed Molinsky. He was a guard from University of Tennessee who entered into the confines of the College Football Hall of Fame in 1990's induction ceremony. Big Ed helped the Vols win the 1938 National Championship, and the next season was part of the Tennessee squad that went unscored upon in the regular season. That's quite an accomplishment there. August 20th, 1927, former University of Georgia quarterback John Roush is celebrated in the College Football Hall of Fame since 2003's induction. He went on to play in the NFL for the Detroit Lions and then was traded to the New York Bulldogs in his first season. Roush also spent time in the Eagles franchise as a player, and after his playing days, he got into coaching and eventually was the head coach of the AFL representative in Super Bowl II, the Oakland Raiders, who fell to the Vince Lombardi-led Green Bay Packers in that big game. Now, once again, we'd like to do our special thanks, you know, Bill Schaefer and Larry Schmidt and Tim Brulia for the graphics and the information on Canton and Cleveland and the Buffalo All-Americans. Just great work that they do at gridironuniforms.com. Make sure you check them out. Give them some love and support. Also to our sponsor today, which was Row One Brand, and to our great music credits, Jason Neff and Mike and Gene Monroe for those great musics that we got to use here. We do each and every day, and we thank them all for that. And also, we're powered by Earl To Go, Bill Noble, with that great IT support in Earl To Go search engine. Make sure you check out Earl To Go and use that for your short Earls to make your, you know, websites and everything more prominent. So until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history. through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.